Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by Policy Genius. Do you have life insurance? I bet you don't, because you think it's too expensive or such a hassle. Well, that's where Policy Genius comes in. It is super easy to use. It's the best online life insurance marketplace there is. It's policygenius.com. The most accurate quotes from the top A-rated life insurance companies. Protect your family and loved ones. Policy Genius has placed over $5 billion in life insurance for people just like you, and it is super easy, not a hassle at all. You go to policygenius.com today to save over 70% off other prices for life insurance. When life insurers compete for your business, you save money. That's policygenius.com, PolicyGenius.com. Zero jargon, zero sales pressure, zero hassle, life insurance made easy, free quotes, and you can go to policygenius.com. Peace of mind, do it right now, policygenius.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business, and a great year starts with making great hires. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the job sites, and now you can with ZipRecruiter.com. You can jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today with ZipRecruiter, and here's the deal we have for you. You go ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/PMT. Let's go.
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Monday, January 9th, Wild Card Weekend. The Oakland Raiders visited the Houston Texans, and Jadeveon Ronald McDonald, the clown he was, loving it as Mark Davis sat in his owner's box looking like his Szechuan beef was Connor overcooked. Glock Osweiler stood his ground and fired all over the field, making Jack Del Rio De Janeiro look like he fell into an ocean full of poop water. And I'd also like to be the first to say, welcome back to being on the TV screen every other play, J.J. Watt. We missed you, big fella. Houston 27, Oakland 14.
Detroit visits Seattle, and it's a long way from Harrison Ford Field, as Paul Richardson was the one-armed man getting away with murder. Seattle's defense was like a maxi pad, shutting down Jim Bob Cooter's flow in the fourth period, as Russell Wilson was tossing the pigskin around like a fish at Pike Place Market. Roll the clip. Seattle buries the Lions like a dead fish head, 26-6.
What?
Nice spread.
What?
Antonio Brown and the Pittsburgh Steelers mercilessly beat the Dolphins to a bloody pulp like a bunch of Japanese fishermen. Matt Less isn't always more. Nagama, boy named Sue. Adam, empty gasoline tank. Cameron, wake and bake. Kenny, stop standing stills and do something, a.k.a. oh my god, they killed Kenny Stills. And Kenyon, birth certificate, Drake, you're all going golfing. Now watch this putt I made in Hawaii 10 years ago. Good putt, Schwam. Steelers 30, Dolphins 12.
You're absolutely right, Boom.
Sitting on a boat in Jameis Winston, Tampa, Florida. Such a fine sight to see.
It's an Adderall pill, and we're keeping it real. Setting sail on the high seas. Come on, G-men, quit playing seamen. You'll have plenty of time to party this off-season.
The G-men become the seamen in the frozen tundra. Packers 38, Seamen 13.
NFL Wild Card Weekend, we are back. That was the fastest, actually probably 2 minutes. The first fastest 2 minutes were 2 minutes.
Yeah, we're able to do that when it's just the four games.
Yeah, right. So NFL Wild Card Weekend, is the NFL dead again? Yes.
It's definitely dead, but it's also preemptive who's back next week, because if you saw the matchups, it is going to be a tits party next Saturday and Sunday.
If you are someone who likes to bet favorites, you had a nice weekend.
Mm-hmm.
If you're someone who likes to bet home teams, you had a very nice weekend. Basically, the only game that was going to be good, looking at the schedule, turned into a blowout, and all the other ones sucked as well.
Yeah, this is the weekend where every chump out there predicted it correct, and then those of us who are actual NFL experts
like ourselves,
and way smarter than everybody else, we're like, well, it's amateur hour right now.
No surprise, I went 1-3.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I went 4-0.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all the
thanks for proving our point.
It's a good spin zone, though. Yep. It's a good spin zone
so
on your part.
It actually shows how smart I am about football that I completely missed everything.
Hey,
so
you want to say sorry?
Go ahead and say sorry.
Okay.
Well, here's the spin zone for me. I went 1-3. I think I'm in last, but we don't actually do any of our bets on this podcast.
That's right. So we don't actually have to settle it.
So quick rundown of the games. Texans, Raiders. I like this game because I learned that Connor Cook at one point played an important game in his life.
That's right, but he's still not a captain.
No.
I don't know if you noticed that.
They kept on
Nobody
doing
came
that.
To his birthday party.
They must have shown – John Gruden must have said that Connor Cook played in some big games in college about 1,000 times. It was like trying to convince himself that this was going to be an okay game, and we're just sitting there like, man, this is sad. Like you can't even convince yourself. How are you going to convince us?
Well, actually, it was if you were a big fan of defending against screen passes – that was a great game to watch.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of shutdown screen passes.
Yeah, and now Hank is actually scared of Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
A little scared.
Did you see the picture of him on the field after the game?
Yeah.
Standing next to Woodson and the rest of the ESPN guys.
Very large.
He looks like a different species from everybody else.
Yeah.
I'd be afraid of him too, Hank.
I'd be really afraid of him. What do you want me to say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had Lions, Seahawks. I learned a new word. Boomer was saying before the game there might be some snizzle. Which is snow drizzle.
Snow drizzle.
Yeah.
Snizzle. Okay.
Sounds like a real cool drug that we'll all hear about in like 5 years.
Well,
you're doing snizzle, it makes your skin fall off, but it gets you really, really fucking high.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great hallucinogen.
Yeah.
The game in Seattle, it was another boring one. But nighttime, Pete Carroll came out.
Yes.
He was smacking his gum. They had some close ups of him putting new pieces. Mm-hmm. He chews pieces of gum that are like the size of 9-volt batteries.
He definitely has to sleep with a mouth guard, right?
Oh, yeah, he
keep
grinds.
Those teeth, yeah, he's a grinder.
He's a big, huge.
If he probably has the headgear on.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Pete Carroll sleeping.
He's got the apnea mask and the headgear on.
Yeah.
A lot of accoutrements.
yes. It's a process for Pete Carroll to go to sleep every night. That's why he just usually chooses to stay woke.
Yeah, and like the rest of the Seahawks, he just takes a bunch of Adderall and stays up.
Right, exactly. So. No need for the headgear.
Also, did you notice the Seattle Cheathawks were back to their old cheating ways?
How so?
So they were just cheating a lot.
Yeah.
Like, they just cheat a lot.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
It's just always there. If you look close enough, you'll see it.
It's like holding.
Yeah.
Except with the Seahawks wide receivers, they cheat a lot. And their defensive backs.
Yes.
By knowing the rule book better than everybody else.
Dolphins, Steelers, I have bad news. I think T.J. Yates is done in the NFL because the Dolphins basically said we would rather have a severely concussed Matt Moore throw than have T.J. Yates out there.
So Matt Moore, he knows how to game the concussion protocol. I don't know what he did, but he was out for like half a play. It was like the Grayson Allen indefinite suspension for concussions.
Right.
And he got in the very next play, and he obviously took a shot to the chin, and he was woozy. A lot of players, like I know Big Ben, you can never tell when Ben's concussed.
Correct.
Because he's so dumb to begin with that it's like if you can't tell that somebody's flatlining on an EKG machine if their resting heart rate is like one beat per minute.
Mm-hmm.
So like Big Ben is so naturally dumb that it's impossible to tell whether or not he's concussed.
He actually, He failed. My favorite Big Ben story is when he was concussed and he came out of the concussion test and he's like, "I killed it." And they're like, yeah. "Actually, you were concussed."
I think Roethlisberger gets smarter when he gets concussed.
Yeah, I agree. So like more instinctual.
Right, his head gets out of his own way.
Right, he's all just like a big dumb animal.
All of his terrible thoughts are no longer functioning in his head, so he's able to like operate like a normal human being.
He's like, just throw the ball to Heath Miller.
Yeah,
is he still on?
No, but yeah, I mean, the guy looks a lot like Heath. So right. I guarantee you, Big Ben does not know that Heath Miller is no longer on the team.
No, he's just like, why aren't people yelling Heath?
Big white tight end.
Heath.
I pass ball.
So yeah, Matt Moore. He got absolutely killed. Came out. We all thought he was dead. Came back in. Like, oh, he's not concussed. And then threw like three picks and fumbled everywhere and was completely awful. So he basically failed his concussion test in front of the nation.
Can we talk about how Matt Moore looks a lot like you, except much slimmer?
I'm on a diet right now.
I'm just saying, like, he looks a lot like Big Cat.
Okay.
Never see him in the same room.
Yeah. Nope.
I also get that with Matt Cassel and Matt Leinart.
Fat Moore.
So my name should be Matt. My name should be Matt, and I should be a pro NFL quarterback.
Wait, so every Matt lost this weekend, huh?
Yeah.
We kind of called that.
I know. Not the year of Matt.
Tough weekend for Matt.
Yates was plus 6 yards, though, on that one play he had. So
true. Very efficient.
Something to build on.
True, true. And then finally, the Giants-Packers game. We're going to get into this more later, but I have a feeling that Odell Beckham's probably going to get criticized a little bit for his boat party.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for his Head and Shoulders commercial.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because I actually like the Head and Shoulders commercial.
This was actually like a microcosm of Aaron Rodgers every year. For the first quarter and a half, everyone's like, well, Aaron Rodgers looks so lost. He's throwing the ball around. Is he hurt? Yeah. I don't know. And then when everyone started doubting him, he just took a big giant shit on all the Packers haters, myself included, with the Hail Mary and then being basically perfect in the second half.
I just thought of a great headline for the Giants boat shenanigans.
Lay it on me, Ravel.
Ready? Okay. Speed boat. Oh. And one of them's got an Adderall pill in their hand.
Nice.
Get it?
That's good.
Okay. Lack of speed boat.
And it's like Shepard tripping over himself on the frozen tundra with holding an Adderall pill.
I like it.
Yeah. All right, let's get to our Monday business. We have our Tiger Woods Memorial Who's Back of the Week. Hank, why don't you start?
My Who's Back of the Week is Lil Terrio.
Oh.
The world has been wondering where he's been after.
Who's Lil Terrio?
What?
Ooh, kill him.
Ooh, kill him.
Ooh, kill him.
Kill him, Terrio.
He's like the little fat.
Sounds violent.
Little fat kid.
Okay. Oh.
Lil Terrio is an enigma, but I'm happy that he's alive.
Yeah, he resurfaced with another video, just as funny.
And do you really not know who he is?
No, I don't.
He's this little fat, like, six-year-old black kid who, like, went viral probably 3 years ago dancing, and he's really, really funny. And
a bunch
of vines. He was like one of the first Vine stars.
Okay.
And then he kind of just disappeared, and everyone's like, wow, I hope Lil Terrio's still alive, or like, I hope he's at school.
Okay. So the good news is he's alive.
He's back.
Okay. He's back.
Love it.
So then he surfaced this weekend. He's a little bit older, which is a little weird.
Is he being treated like Pedro Martinez treated that like little guy that used to hang out with him?
Basically, his whole family like built off a success of like a 6 second Vine and tried to like turn that into like.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And unfortunately, Lil Terrio, it would be, if Lil Terrio had the Annie Milonakis disease, he probably could make a career out of it, but now he's like.
He's not little anymore.
It's like medium Terrio. He's never Terrio. Was little. That was kind of the funny part. But yeah, Lil Terrio's back. Good to see him back.
Okay.
What do you got?
I've got Nick Saban's teeth. He's going to smile tonight.
Yeah.
And you're going to get to see his teeth for about 5 seconds. And it's always just wonderful to see that.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You think he goes to the dentist the day before the
national
trip? Maybe some white strips?
No, Nick Saban he hasn't been to a dentist in 30 years.
he's had like cavity pain for all 30 years.
Right, and he hasn't like tried to extract his tooth or anything. He just deals with it. He's like, my mouth hurts.
Yeah, my mouth
day
hurts.
Day in, day out. That's
but
just
it doesn't
what happens.
Hurt. It actually, if his mouth feels healthy, that's when he'll go see the dentist. Be like, hey, doc. I have no pain right now. What's going on? I must be dying. I have two Who's Back. My first is Blackfish, that movie, Orca movie, because that orca died. So I never saw Blackfish, but I heard that if you did, it would change your whole life.
Uh-huh.
So people are going to, it's probably going to come back. Like, you got to see Blackfish, see what they do to those orcas.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and then my second Who's Back is the Masters music. Yes. Love this.
Hello, friends.
I actually think CBS does this knowing that even though the Masters are, what, like 3 months away?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? after January, you know, after New Year's, you ate too much, you drank too much, you're a piece of shit. You went to the gym once, and then you stopped your New Year's resolution. You're paying like $300 for your membership.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for
guess
you just
what?
Kind of nailed me on all those accounts.
Yeah.
There.
Guess what though? Hello, friends.
Man.
And then you think about the nap that you're going to take, and it's going to finally, you know, winter's going to be over.
There should just be a channel that's doing nothing but playing the Masters music with that bridge.
Yes.
And just Jim Nantz every like 5 seconds says, hello, friends.
Okay, so here's what we need to do. The Red Zone channel. You know how the Red Zone channel is just static for the entire offseason?
In the offseason.
It just says, we'll see you next season, and mm-hmm. it's just like sitting there. We need to have that be the Masters music.
I like it.
Because I always, at least once or twice in the offseason, I will stumble upon the Red Zone channel and get immediately so sad.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be nice if I had a little come down on that.
It's also just good for like dads out there to have, instead of having to rely on Ambien or something to go to sleep, if a dad turns on the Masters music, he's going to fall asleep within 5 minutes.
Best nap of the year.
Yeah. So
best nap of the year.
Instant cure for insomniacs. Is that the word?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get that channel going.
Yeah. You hear the butterflies and...
Yeah. Oh, I've got one more who's back.
Okay.
The same 8 fucking teams that are in the NFL playoffs every year. They're
plus,
all back.
Plus the Falcons.
And this year, you got the Falcons.
The Falcons plus the Falcons.
Bonus. And the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to end up being Patriots,
we know.
Packers, or Patriots, Cowboys.
Cowboys, yeah.
Yeah. All right. We have football guy of the week. It's almost going to be the end of the football season. Do you do this after NFL regular season ends? I start counting down the amount of football games we have left?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the time.
So
we've got 3 weekends of football.
Yeah, we have, 8? If you count the national title game, we have 8 football games left. Just
that's
think
scary.
About that.
That you just gave me the biggest Sunday scaries of all time.
8 football games, folks. So football guy of the week. First up, we have the most controversial football guy, Ben McAdoo.
Yep.
McAdoo had an article about him, and friend of the program, recurring guest Justin Pugh, said this about him. McAdoo's a football guy. He eats, breathes, sleeps football, and there are coaches that are football coaches, and then there's football guy coaches. He's a football guy coach. There's nothing that guy cares about more than football.
I believe that. I totally believe that there's nothing that Ben McAdoo cares more about than football. He's just not a football. You think a football guy would have been silent this week? A real football guy would have sat Odell Beckham for one play to send a message.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Coughlin sits
his helmet
him for one play.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to hold on to your helmet like you're my jail punk,
mm-hmm.
and then one play is going to transpire, probably going to throw an interception, and then you get your helmet back.
Sitting a guy one play, we call that the Florida State punishment.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They've mastered that.
Yeah, so
Bobby Bowden used to be the king of that. Like, you're sitting out the first series, son, even though you got arrested and like blew a .4.
I want to see something else happen with Ben McAdoo this offseason. He needs to do something. I don't know what it is, but he needs to take that step before I can call him a football guy.
Also, Justin Pugh, maybe there's a lot of heat on your team for the boat party. There might be a little heat on you for listening to too much Pardon My Take, because that was basically a Pardon My Take quote talking about football guy
He's
coach.
A football guy
he
coach.
He said football guy like 4 times in one paragraph.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you listening. We have Nick Saban. Nick Saban for somehow, some way, getting Alabama to feel like they are underdogs tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible how he's able to do it, but this was a direct quote from senior linebacker Ryan Anderson. We do feel like we're underdogs right now. And then O.J. Howard, their tight end, said, it's kind of a slap in the face when you do – or, sorry, he said the media is selling us as possible underdogs, possible upset. People are talking about Clemson. I think that Alabama gets upset if you just even mention the name of the team they're playing.
Alabama's like a jealous high school boyfriend right now. Like, you're already dating the chick. Just because she, like, faves somebody's thing on Instagram or something, Alabama's like, what the fuck? What
Nobody
about me?
Nobody believed in us.
No, you didn't believe in me.
Yeah.
It's a great trick that Saban's doing. I think it's because Saban basically negs them all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells them every day that nothing's good enough, they're all pieces of shit. And then they internalize that, and they're like, nobody believes in us because the only person they interact with is their coach.
It's like if you want to be a good father, you never hug your kid, mm-hmm. and then wait till like maybe they graduate college and then give them a hug and be like, you know what, son? I believed in you.
I loved you this whole time.
I loved you this whole time. I just didn't want to get full of yourself.
I couldn't tell you that for obvious reasons.
Yeah. I didn't want you to go around thinking that you had a dad that loved you, mm-hmm. bragging to everyone that you had a loving family. So I didn't talk to you. I didn't hug you. I didn't touch you for this entire your entire life.
I think Nick Saban looks at the national championship trophy like a participation trophy. He's like, it's part of the process.
Yeah, we're just here.
If you just complete the process, then you get a trophy for doing your job.
It's part of the season.
You shouldn't be happy about this.
It's the end of the season.
Yeah. What, you're celebrating no more football? Why don't you celebrate that?
Yeah, what, do you want us to have a pizza party or something? It's just the season's over now. Time to go to recruiting.
Yeah.
We have Gruden. John Gruden said this. God bless John Gruden. We're Gruden guys. I love Gruden, but that was a tough, tough game for him on Saturday because he just didn't. He wanted so badly for Connor Cook and Brock Osweiler to be good, and he couldn't will him there.
Right.
He was trying so hard, but he did say this. He was malfunctioning at certain points during the game. When talking about a punt, he was saying, I don't measure punts in distance. I measure punts in miles.
Yeah, and this is an ultimate football guy saying because – Gruden fundamentally doesn't understand that miles is a unit of measuring distance.
The only distance.
He doesn't have time for that shit.
Yeah, the only distance is yards.
Yeah, he's just told, here's a mile.
Right.
And, okay, I don't know what that is, but I know it's long.
Yeah. Gruden, you could tell Gruden that old, like, a train is coming from, you know, Boston and a train's coming from New York at different speeds. Where do they meet? He'd be like, I have no idea. He'd be like, okay, a train is on this, you know, the 1 yard line and the other train's on the 50 yard line and they're going, and he'd be like, oh yeah, okay, now I know this.
Perfect. He's like, yeah, man, it's going to be a heck of a collision at the 27.
Yeah, perfect.
I am pumped up. I am pumped up about this locomotive, man.
A train is running a 4840 from the 50 and another train is running a 4-2 from the 1. Where do they meet?
Where does the second train catch up and dislodge a fumble finishing the play?
Yeah. He'd have it. And then finally we have Coach O, our favorite Coach O. There was a picture. He was meeting with what? The governor of Louisiana?
Yeah. Which is just great.
Yeah. Just talking to
people. This is Louisiana
for
you right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
The governor, basically, if you're the governor of Louisiana, just make sure that there are no armed insurrections in your state and make sure that LSU football is prominent. And you'll be fine. You'll get. Remember we talked about this not too long ago. If the local football team is doing good, then the leaders get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's any more true than in the state of Louisiana.
Agreed.
If LSU wins a national championship and you don't get reelected, then you fucked up.
You fucked up big time.
Yeah.
You must have had a scandal. But
in Louisiana?
And Coach O, it looks like he has an industrial coffee maker in his house.
Yes.
So he's got the ones you have at the diner where you can have two pots hot at all times.
Mm-hmm.
That's Coach O.
I think Coach O doesn't really recognize the difference between his house and like a diner and just places that he goes.
Right.
He just goes places and he knows what he wants at that point. We need some coffee right now.
Yeah. Could I get some coffee and a couple biscuits?
You're going to need two jambalaya tank now.
Can I get a couple biscuits to dip my coffee in?
Yeah, so Coach O, not really a shocker that he obviously drinks his coffee black.
Yeah,
he's not a cream guy, not a sugar guy.
He probably actually sprinkles a couple extra grounds in it.
Yeah, just
add a little more flavor.
You know the coffee lips that you can pack in with the grounds?
Throws that in, then drinks the coffee.
I wouldn't be surprised if Coach O uses snus pouches as a coffee filter. So you get not only your coffee, but you also get a little nicotine.
I like that.
Pick you up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. A little extra buzz. All right. Football Guy of the Week, we're going to tweet that out. Embrace debate. Let us know who wins Football Guy of the Week. Let's now go, speaking of football, speaking of the national title, let's go and have a great conversation with Paul Finebaum, the probably the number one guy in the SEC, number one guy in college football.
Yep.
Great interview.
Gentlemen, if you're wondering whether your shirt is too long to wear untucked, it probably is. Finding a shirt that looks good untucked has been one of the biggest problems in men's fashion for years. Most are too long and too sloppy. It's a deceptively difficult look to get just right. Untuckit.com has solved this problem by making shirts specifically designed to be worn untucked. Research shows a clear preference for an untucked shirt to be long enough to comfortably cover the belt buckle, but short enough to keep a portion of the pant pocket exposed. And with a few innovative design changes, Untuckit shirts fall at the perfect length. Impeccable craftsmanship and attention to detail make Untuckit shirts the only choice for the untucked man and the perfect gift. So visit untuckit.com and learn why GQ called them perfection, or visit their new stores, New York, Austin, LA, San Francisco, or Chicago. Untuckit.com, because the right shirt will make all the difference. Untuckit.com shirts designed to be worn untucked, and use the promo code Barstool for 20% off all purchases. Who out there is going to wet the beak tonight? Well, if you are, you should be using BetDSI. Bowl season's almost over. The NFL playoffs are taking center stage, and BetDSI has over 20 years in business. They're a top-rated business on most of the sports book review sites out there. They've got a great mobile product. It's easy to use from anywhere. They do live in-game wagering. You can make plays throughout entire games and events. They've also got great customer service, always available 24/7, 365. They've built their reputation on fast payment of winnings, and they're going to hook it up with a little 200% bonus with promo code TAKE. 200. So it's for both new and returning members. It's automated, so you'll see this in the cashier when you go to the website. 200% means if you deposit 500, you get 1,000 in total bonus credits. So the total winds up being 1,500. This is for both sports and casino. So when you deposit that 500, you'll get an extra 1,000 bonus. That is an insane deal. So go to BetDSI, use promo code TAKE, T-A-K-E, 200.
We now welcome on a very special guest, Paul Feinbaum. You can find him on the SEC ESPN network and also on Sirius XM Channel 81. He's here to talk to us. He is the man of the South, the SEC, and
Mouth of the South.
The Mouth of the South. No, that's not right.
We're going to call him the Mouth of the South, though.
But Paul, thank you for joining us. The big national championship game is finally here. Alabama versus Clemson. I want to start with the topic that everyone's been talking about, Lane Kiffin getting dismissed from the team. Is it being overblown, or do you think that's a real problem for Alabama?
Well, I mean, it's a real issue. I mean, you got a guy who spends 3 years trying to rehabilitate himself, and he goes completely off the wagon as he's walking down to receive his degree. I mean, I don't even know how to compare it. I mean, it's like a 16-year-old kid who or 17-year-old gets about to be graduated from high school, and he wrecks his old man's car on the way to the graduation. I've never seen anything quite like it. I mean, but Lane Kiffin is a child, and Nick Saban tried to nurture him and be a father figure, and in the end, he punched Saban in the mouth on the way out.
So I watched his interview on Mike and Mike, and he very clearly said if it was up to him, he said that it was his choice to not coach in the national championship game. How much self-restraint does Nick Saban show by not just like throwing him under the bus and being like, that's total bullshit?
I mean that is such a duplicitous statement that it reminds me of the late Al Davis when he fired Kiffin and just called him a total and absolute liar, which that statement is. I don't think Lane Kiffin, I don't think they'd let him in the stadium in Tampa, let alone put him in the press box to assist. I mean, they want nothing. When you get fired, that means you're fired. I mean, you don't get to come back the next day. You clean your office out, and you're shown the door by the security guy.
So obviously, but he coached in the semifinal game. So something fell apart. Was there an incident or anything that like was a catalyst for Saban to say, you know what, we're going to change offensive coordinators like the week before the national championship? Because that is some heavy stuff. And you got a freshman quarterback who he himself said, it's weird because I haven't had really much of a relationship with Steve Sarkisian.
I don't think there was a blow up. I think it was the fact that Lane Kiffin, and this is hard to imagine this statement I'm about to make, literally airmailed in the national semifinal in college football. It's like he didn't bother. I mean, I've heard all kinds of theories, and I know he's denied it. I talked to him the other day, and he said it's not true. But I think he checked out. I think he blew off meetings. I think he did not work with Jalen Hurts in a way that you have to when you have a freshman quarterback. And, I mean, this is just unprecedented.
Well,
I know some people have said or have asked me, do you think he sabotaged it? No, I don't think he's a Machiavellian figure. I just think he's a loser. He's a guy that just he got a job and he quit caring about the one that helped get him the job.
So over under 1.5 years for Lane Kiffin at his next job.
I mean, listen, we're talking about Florida Atlantic. I mean, we're not talking about a program with any self-respect. They had 5,800 people at the last home game. So, I mean, Lane Kiffin's a freak show, but he may draw a few fans, and he may luck into some junior college transfer or some guy that, got kicked out of out of a major school, and he could possibly lead him to a. I mean, all you really in college football, you need 6 wins,
right?
And if you can get to some bowl game and pull an upset, you'll get on somebody's radar screen. But I will tell you this: I argued in favor of Kiffin for a long time. I really liked him. But in being down at the national championship and being with all the people that matter in college athletics, he's even more toxic today than he was a year ago because of this incident. I don't think anyone else will hire him.
Wow.
Regardless. I mean, he would have to upset somebody of epic proportion to get on a radar screen of a school that that really mattered.
Do you know if he was on Coach O's radar or if this was something that was kind of brewing beneath the surface?
I know. I do believe so. Yeah. I mean, okay. I think Ogeron wanted him pretty badly because of the relationship. And again, Louisiana's different. I mean, it's a place that will accept people a little bit off the beaten path. Now, having said all this, I mean, Kiffin is a very good coach. What's so remarkable isn't the fact that Kiffin was fired or dismissed or whatever. It's the fact that he was replaced by a guy who got run out of Southern Cal because he stood up at a public event and was drunk out of his mind.
Right. I mean, he's the responsible one. Steve Sarkisian's the responsible one good time. The offense over
to. I mean, he didn't replace Lane Kiffin with somebody that you feel good about. And I know I heard all my colleagues, and that's fine. I mean, I only speak for myself. But he won the press conference. Sarkisian, he aced it. Well, good. I mean, big deal. He refused to talk about the issue that I really wanted to hear him talk about.
Right.
And that's what got him fired in the first place.
But Nick Saban has become kind of like the island of misfit toys, where he'll just take in guys and fix them up, and then put them back on the. You know, he did it with Lane Kiffin getting a job. He's probably going to do it with Steve Sarkisian. Let's talk about the game for a minute. Who do you have? Have you released your official pick? Do you make your official pick?
You know, I'm not a handicapper, nor am I Lee Corso, or anyone really cares what I think about these games. But I like Alabama, and the reason I like Alabama, and don't laugh, I've picked Alabama in every single game since the Iron Bowl in 2010, when I picked Auburn to beat Alabama, and Cam Newton led Auburn back from a 24-0 victory. So when I walk down the street in Tampa, and everybody's like, hey, Paul, who are you picking? Same team I always pick.
Right.
And by the that doesn't make me a homer. It just makes me smart.
Right.
Because you guys know how many times Alabama has won since 2011.
Yeah, a bunch.
A few. Times.
They've won a few games.
They lost about 5 times.
Yeah. So your show has become famous for getting some of the best callers from the SEC, and you know all the fan bases really well. If there were to be, let's call it a battle royale, just a big war between the fan bases of every SEC school, who do you think comes out on top of that?
Alabama, because that, by the way, that's not the same reason I picked Alabama.
Yeah, right. They have a good defensive line on their fan base. Yeah,
Alabama has more fans than I mean, Alabama has fans that have never been in the state of Alabama or been in Tuscaloosa or gone to a game. I mean, I don't understand it, even though I lived in Birmingham 30 years. People just roll out of the crib and, you know, the OBGYN pats the baby on the backside, and instead of crying, they just scream out, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Pow.
And it's just and it's unlike anything I've ever seen, and I love it. I mean, I didn't go to school at Alabama. I went to Tennessee. But Alabama fans, they just multiply, and when they win, they multiply.
Don't use protection. Big birth control fans.
Hey, heard Tennessee's going to be back next year. Heard that.
I sat in Knoxville this year on, I think it was like the 20th of October, and I was on College Game Day. Reese Davis said, "Is Tennessee back?" I said, "They are back." I don't think they've won since.
Every single year.
A little pro tip. For a school like Tennessee, maybe you're looking to compete in the SEC, why don't they just legalize marijuana in the state? I feel like if you legalize pot in one southeastern state, you could just immediately start counting the top 5 recruiting classes.
Well, when I was at school at Tennessee, I didn't realize that pot wasn't legalized.
There
you go. But, yeah.
A little dope head.
A little hipper.
Yeah, it was a different era back then in the 20s.
It wasn't as potent. It was basically not even a drug.
Yeah, right.
You know, you didn't worry about the law. But, you know, I don't. I mean, Tennessee is just is an enigma. I don't get why Tennessee has everything going for it. There's no reason why they shouldn't be successful.
And they have cool colors. I think that's a big a big deal in college football.
And the live dog mascot too.
Yes, live dog mascot matters. Who is
what's that old joke I heard years ago that you know the color orange? You can works at Home Depot on Saturday and then you can pick up trash on the interstate on Monday.
yeah. No, okay. Seriously. I think the color, like you think about like a Mississippi State. They have basically the same colors as what? Alabama? You can't
and Texas A&M. Yeah.
Brown, you can't brownish
compete.
Red.
You can't compete. You can't be the second team that has that. You have to kind of stand out a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big proponent of that. What is your most delusional fan base in college football? I think I know the answer. I just want to hear you say it.
Yeah, you do. You don't have to ask. It's Michigan.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, you know, and I don't want to. I always hate to regurgitate information.
No, please do. Please do. Please do.
But I mean, but Michigan. I mean, first of all, it's a good school, but it's not Harvard.
Nope. They think they are.
I mean, Michigan fans, Michigan graduates are just the most arrogant, elitist. I mean, it's a state university that's in Michigan, okay?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Ann Arbor is a suburb of Detroit.
Everything you say makes sense.
The fans talk like it's Stanford. Harvard, Princeton, and Caltech wrapped into one. It's not. It's a good school that's won a half a national championship in 60 years.
Yes.
That hired a guy who got fired by the San Francisco 49ers, who has got...
It was mutual.
Correction. And by the way, I mean, they fired three coaches since then, or two, or I've lost track, but I mean, he had 28 satellite cams from Alabama to Australia, and what has he accomplished?
Okay, so I love the Michigan hate, because I went to the University of Wisconsin. I hate Michigan as well, but I will say he has accomplished something, because he's turned around the vibe at Michigan, and it feels like they will be in the Final Four in the next few years. Do you not agree with that?
I wouldn't lock that down.
Okay.
I mean, it's possible, but, you know, I'm not going to be one of these, anything's possible. Well, not really. I would probably bet against Michigan. Until this year, I may have gone with them, but I think this was a really good team that Harbaugh let get away. And I know some Michigan fans have said, well, you know, we only missed a national championship game by 5 points. Oh, really?
Right.
You lost to Iowa.
Yeah, you also got your ass kicked by Iowa. Right. So there's that.
Right.
I mean, you don't lose to Iowa and be in the same conversation as legitimate teams.
So do you think
because Kirk Ferentz is one of the biggest frauds I've ever seen when it comes to big games.
That's actually a fact. He's a fraud in big games, but he is a master of winning the important game every year that makes them add a couple of years to his contract.
Mm-hmm.
I think his contract's just never ending. It's like a bottomless cup of coffee.
No, I mean, because, you know, they sneak that good year in every 4 or 5 years.
Right. And then, Nick Saban, do you think he's ever going to man up and go back to the NFL?
I doubt it. I still believe that he could be tempted with somebody just offering him everything under the sun, but he's got it. He's really got it good. I mean, other than the fact that losing one game is like the end of the world or Armageddon. I mean, beyond that, I mean, he's got an easy life. I mean, but he can do no wrong. He's got a fan base that worships him. People talk about, you know, make $7.5 million. I mean, I'll tell you right now, if Nick Saban ran a Fortune 500 company, he'd be making $100 million a year. He's that valuable.
What kind of company would he run?
Ooh.
Well, I mean, you name it. Apple,
SAT Prep Cheating Class?
Ford Motor. I mean, what was that again?
So 5 years ago.
Did you say something? I mean, you're talking to me. That's blasphemous. You can't criticize Nick Saban.
Oh, well, we might have to.
It's like blasphemous, man.
A couple years ago when he was being linked to the Texas job, there were all sorts of rumors that his wife was shopping for homes in Austin, that sort of thing. How close has Nick Saban been to actually leaving Alabama, and how much of it is just him driving up a raise for himself?
I think he's seriously considered. I mean, I would say I know he's seriously considered going to Texas. I reported in a book that I did with Gene Wojciechowski that a group of Texas supporters floated $100 million offer to him. I don't believe the real estate story about Terry Saban, but I think he listened. And the reason he didn't go to Texas was in Alabama, you don't have to deal with it. I mean, you don't talk to anyone if you don't want to talk to anyone. I mean, he's the golden rule. At Texas, you have to deal with 10 or 15 or 20 fat cat old guys who come in their 10-gallon hats and their cowboy boots and want to waste your time. And college football coaches don't have time to waste anymore. Mack Brown was great at that. I mean, he could schmooze
time
with the best.
Mm-hmm.
And he lasted longer than he probably should. But and I like Mack a lot, but, I mean, his last couple of years there were embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. All right, this is a game we play with all of our guests. It's called Coach O Asks a Question, translated by Matthew McConaughey. You ready?
Okay.
We're gonna go down there, boys. We're gonna go down to the bayou. We're gonna hit play some football. We'll go Tigers. We're gonna go play some hard football. We're gonna hit hard and play hard and go Tigers.
And now, see, here's the thing, Mr. Feinbaum. We appreciate you being on the show. Certainly, being a radio host for you, it's kind of like driving a Lincoln. It's masculine, it's stylish, but you know, it's somewhat refined. There's a Buddhist principle that teaches you you will receive from the world what you put into it. Now, you know. Your comments, please.
I thought that was really cool. And by the way, I'm starting to exhale about this interview.
Oh, okay. We're loosening you up. Okay. Coach O?
I was warned. Listen, you had a good career.
Yeah.
Probably much closer to the end than the beginning. And do not go on this podcast and just in an attempt for a 60-year-old guy to sound cool. Don't blow your entire career.
No, you're good.
Oh, here's
you're good.
Here's a good question for you. Who would you trust more around your wife, Bobby Petrino or Lane Kiffin?
I think Bobby Petrino easily.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm always going with a guy in his mid-50s and then a guy 41.
Your wife's afraid of motorcycles or something?
Yeah, no, I mean, she does not like riding Harleys.
Here we go, perfect.
And, you know, I mean, you guys obviously missed Bobby Petrino's apology to his wife. And
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, yeah.
When
he had the neck brace on, the best one of all time.
I mean, by the way, that I will tell you, I that was like one of the great stories I've ever covered. And of course, it happened, I think, on April Fool's Day. And I was devastated when they fired him. I wanted that story to like the rest of my life. It was so much fun.
It was.
He looked like a plaintiff in a lawsuit being sat down in cross-examination, like with the scrapes all over his face and the neck brace on. It was one of the best press conferences I've seen.
God bless.
Yeah, no, it was. And of course, you know, I love the fact that Tom Jurich at Louisville, who kept Petino after he decided to
ejaculate on his leg in 7 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Off guard. At an Italian restaurant. talk about the house dressing. and then, you know, of course, Petino rewarded him with a national championship. I don't think Petrino really quite delivered this year.
No.
Choking his guts out down the stretch.
Ooh. No. Do you believe in Dabo as like one of the premier coaches in college football? I mean, obviously he's back to back, but
I like the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the whole bring your own guts thing gets a little old, but I've known Dabo a long time when he was a walk on at Alabama. And, I mean, I think he's a really good coach.
Okay.
And Clemson is, I don't know if you guys have ever been there to a game, but I mean, it's totally different than any place you've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhat of a religious experience, in a positive way.
Yeah. What? Well, Dabo especially. He's a big God guy.
Mm-hmm.
Huge God guy.
God first.
You guys don't like that?
No, No. I mean, I'm not a God guy, but I understand.
I'm a huge God guy.
People are God guys.
I want to hear guys explain that they're against this. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm sure your fan base is a big God fan base as well. We're northern guys, you know. It's not, you know,
we're coastal elites.
We're Brooklyn hipsters. I was born in the south, but my family's off in the north. I get that northern attitude. My mom and dad were from New York.
Yeah. What about Urban Meyer to Notre Dame? Sounds good, right?
It did about 15 years ago.
Oh, come on. Let's get it going. Let's get the rumor mill going. Just say
I think anyone to Notre Dame would be better than Brian Kelly.
Yes.
What about Chip Kelly?
Chip would be, I mean, you'd save money on the stationery.
Yeah, right.
Just scratch out Brian and write in Chip.
Coach Kelly.
I think Brian Kelly is one of the biggest jokes in college football. I really do.
I think they should bring back Charlie Weiss because I think they're still paying him, right? So, like, technically, if they wanted to call him in, he has to go work, right?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one thing. I think Charlie Weiss was better than Brian Kelly.
Ooh.
Yeah. I actually
he was more hilarious.
I don't totally
He didn't
disagree.
Kill anybody.
Yeah. I don't totally disagree.
No, you're right about that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was expensive from a food standpoint.
Right.
But I think Notre Dame can afford a couple of extra buffets, but I mean Brian Kelly. I mean he really, I don't know how I love that kid. I think he was from Pennsylvania, who decommitted from Notre Dame to go to here. I'm going to compliment Harbaugh, but he said that Harbaugh was so much cooler than Brian Kelly. I mean anyone's cooler than Brian Kelly.
Right. That's true. And so do you think that the whole social media coaches showing up and doing weird shit on Twitter? That's kind of like the new recruiting, right? Do you think that a guy like Nick Saban or a guy like Coach O might fall behind because of that?
I asked Saban about a year ago. I did an OTL interview with him about Twitter, and he said, I may jump on that soon. And that was a year and a half ago. He doesn't need to worry about Twitter.
He just got the rings.
Do you know this guy? You know what his routine is every day? He gets up. He turns on the Weather Channel. I mean, I've been in his house, even though the rumor is I live there. And then he eats his little his two Little Debbie oatmeal cream cookies. But he watches the Weather Channel because I said, "What's the deal with the Weather Channel?" He said, "I want to know what the weather's going to be at practice every day."
Mm-hmm.
You don't watch ESPN? No, I don't watch anything. Watch the Weather Channel.
Does he know you can look on your phone, like the weather app?
No. Can you imagine waking up every morning and the first thing you see is Jim Cantore?
That's
that's
wild.
Terrifying.
But that also makes sense for Nick Saban.
Does Nick Saban have a phone?
Yeah, he does.
Breaking.
I'm trying to remember. He gets texts, but he doesn't text.
Oh, that's kind of like my dad used to do that, had that face.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, I got the whole Nick Saban thing down. I mean, he's... He's very eccentric, but he's a little more tech savvy than he'll let you believe. I mean, I flew with him somewhere a year or two ago, and I mean, he turned on his own computer, but he knows how to do a few things.
All right. Well, this actually is a perfect segue into our final three questions. The first one is headline grab, where we're trying to make headlines here with something you tell us. So this is a perfect time to ask it. How much does Nick Saban actually pay his five-star recruits?
His what?
His five-star recruits.
Oh.
How much does he pay?
How much money does he get?
Or is it just the Dodge Charger that they all seem to end up with?
Right. They all have really nice cars.
They all seem to end up
right?
with Dodges down
What's
in Alabama.
What's up with
Alabama?
That? What's up with that, Paul? That?
Well, you guys are... guys are really trying to put me in an awkward spot here by agreeing with you, aren't you?
It's headline
grab. So like, how many cars is he allotted per year?
Yeah.
To give away?
Well, I mean, he does. This will come under the category of refusing to answer the question, but mm-hmm. he does own two Mercedes dealerships.
Huh.
Oh.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Hmm. We're going to connect some dots.
One in Birmingham, and I mean, seriously, his son-in-law works at the one in Birmingham, and he owns one in Nashville. He's a part owner of them. I don't mean to say he's a total
owner. Silent owner kind of thing?
Yeah, very silent.
Well, I mean, it's not silent. I mean, it's public.
Be a real shame if, like, a couple cars were to disappear every
just
year.
Fall
and end
off
up,
the back of the truck?
Yeah, end up in the hands of some recruits.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Real shame.
Some five-star changes his commitment from Michigan to Alabama. Next thing you know,
yeah, mm-hmm.
Interesting.
You didn't do it because Nick Saban's cool on Twitter.
I know that you're going to both laugh here, but Alabama doesn't have to pay players.
Yeah, I actually agree. I actually probably understand that. It's kind of fucked up how good they are and how they can just keep being good. Their whole defense is this the best defense that they've ever had?
I mean,
is this the best defense they've ever had?
I think so, yeah. I mean, again, Alabama, when you go to Alabama on the defensive side, I mean, you're going there to play pro football. You're not going there for any other reason.
Right. It's fucking...
And so by the way, a lot of the players that go through. Do you know that in 2008, a year after Saban arrived, Alabama did not have a single player drafted in the NFL draft?
I didn't know that actually.
That's what he inherited.
Wow, that's insane.
Were you there for the Mark Price days, the coveted, the storied Mark Price tenure?
I will tell you again. I shouldn't say this too loudly, but. I'm trying to remember the year. I think it was 2003. Price came in from Washington State, and the story started percolating that he had had some relationship. And a friend of mine was at Sports Illustrated, and this is back in the days that you actually faxed things. He faxed me the advanced copy of the SI cover that revealed all the shenanigans that went on, and I read it out loud on the air. It was one of the funniest things I've ever done. I mean, I know the guy's life was being torn apart and he was going to get fired, but when I got to the part where it said, and he was in the hotel room, this is from the SI story directly, he was in the hotel room with a stripper, with two strippers, excuse me, and they were getting undressed, and he started screaming, "It's rolling, baby."
Yeah.
And then they yelled out, "Roll Tide."
Roll Tide. It's rolling, baby.
You remember the story?
Oh yeah, I remember that story.
How could you forget that story?
Well, it's been...
That was like penthouse form for a football guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, this guy, and it came out in his deposition that his defense for not having done it was this, that, you know, he had had some medical condition, sure, high blood pressure, and was taking Viagra. I mean, it was bizarre.
Taking Viagra to lower his blood pressure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, edging.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. this is where the older guy is supposed to say, "I've never taken it before."
Right. Right.
I heard Larry King say that once on CNN. That's 85. Oh,
yeah, after his like 17th wife. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's never taken it.
I don't have to take it.
Yeah. Last question I'm going to ask. You don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. How good does Tim Tebow look without a shirt on?
Pretty good. Yeah. When you know, we do the show on Saturday morning, and like all athletes, you know, I dressed. You know, they pick me up at 5:45 in the morning, and I'm in my suit with my tie all buttoned and my tie bar. And Tebow shows up in workouts, and these guys do not dress until they get to the bus, which is, in their word, the locker room. So I've seen Tim. I don't want to say I've seen him without a shirt. Let me put it that way. He's got the biggest arms and the biggest legs I've ever seen.
Like suspiciously big?
No, I'm just like thick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, well, not normal.
Well toned.
Yeah.
We have a theory that Tim Tebow takes a lot of Adderall. Have you ever seen him just like pop some speed?
No. I've seen him eat avocados and almonds.
Same thing.
Oh.
Nature's okay. Adderall.
I mean, I know that, man. I know you'll probably edit this where it comes out that I said that he takes it.
We're not good enough at editing to put words in your mouth. That's something that we're working on.
Yeah, we're just going to misquote you and say that you said that Nick Saban needs to pay the players. We'll cut that part out where you said Alabama doesn't need to pay their players. It's going to say Alabama needs to pay their players.
I mean, I think people get this podcast by now that they're going to expect you to do that.
Correct.
Paul, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you while we had you on the line here, could Alabama beat the Browns?
I think they could, and every time I say that, these purists get crazy.
Purists, you mean just like football experts?
And Danny Sheridan said that the line would be 27, but I really think by the end of the season they could. Yeah, I mean, I think this Alabama team, on a given day, I'm not going to give you too many cliches here because this is a cool podcast. Excuse me, I'm with Alabama over the Browns.
Okay.
All right. There we go. I like it. One expert. All right, Paul, thank you so much. By the way, do you text with Stingray Steve ever?
Text with?
Stingray Steve, our friend?
Yeah. No.
What about her name from Mulga? What's
Phyllis.
Her name? Phyllis.
Phyllis?
Yeah.
I had to like Phyllis on SportsCenter the other day.
Yeah, I saw her. Did she send nudes ever?
I think we can get Phyllis to go nude.
Paul! 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 Alabama! Hey,
Auburn hasn't played anybody.
But Stingray, you can have him, okay?
Okay.
All right, we got him.
Yeah, we got him. He's ours. You actually didn't need to say that.
Yeah, I've never really been a big Stingray fan.
Oh, there's our headline.
Trouble in Paradise.
Wow, okay. All right, Paul, thank you so much. Have fun in Tampa. Have fun at those strip clubs tonight that you were telling us you were going to go to before we started taping. and we appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for getting me the discount at the...
Yeah, Mons Venus.
Yeah.
You don't pretend like you don't know the name. Come on, Paul.
I couldn't remember. I'd already forgotten. I wrote it down somewhere.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, have fun at the national championship. We'll talk to you. You're now a recurring guest, so we'll see you probably in the off season when Nick Saban does get arrested for his Mercedes stuff.
This was more fun than I thought it would be, which I didn't think it would be at all.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's high praise.
Yeah, nice. Set the bar low. That's kind of our motto. Season is here, and I want to talk to you about something very cool H&R Block is doing this year. You can walk into pretty much any of their 10,000 offices and get an unbelievable deal. The first thing you need to know about this tax season is there's some bad news for taxpayers. The government is delaying tax refunds this year, but H&R Block has the good news. Instead of waiting weeks to get your refund, you could get an advance on that refund after you file at H&R Block. That's right, a refund advance loan up to $1,250, and there's the best part, no interest. After you file in a Block office, you heard me right, a no interest advance on your refund up to $1,250. As John Hamm says, don't just get your taxes done, H&R Block, get your taxes won. This is a limited time offer at participating offices. It's a no-brainer, people. Go to H&R Block and get that cash advance in your hand this year.
Optional tax refund related loan from MetaBank. Not your tax refund. $500, $750, or $1,250 loans offered. Approval and loan amount based on estimated refund and other conditions. Funds loaded on prepaid card. Tax returns may be e-filed without applying for this loan. Fees for other optional products or product features may apply. Limited time at participating locations. See hrblock.com/loan for details.
All right, let's get to some segments. We have a hurt or injured Ben Roethlisberger after the wild card game. Big Ben showed up to the press conference in a walking boot. He said he didn't know when he got injured or what the injury exactly was.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's his foot.
It's probably his foot, which is the most Big Ben thing ever. Just being in some form of injured at all times. I think it's actually like when you walk out of your house and you're like, shit, did I forget my keys? Ben was just getting dressed. He's like, oh, crap, I don't have my walking boot on. Right. I don't even know if I'm injured, but I'm probably just going to put it on anyway.
Right. I'm going to say he's definitely injured because he might not play the next game.
Right.
Big Ben, you never know with this guy. Like, he's unreliable, gets really hurt a lot. This seems like a serious one.
I'm pretty sure. Didn't he tear his ACL like 2 months ago?
I don't think he has an ACL.
He doesn't have anything.
Yeah.
He just gets – he's like jello, but he gets hurt all the time, but then the hurts don't really stick.
One of my favorite parts about all Steelers games is the five-minute injury graphic that they show about Ben Roethlisberger all the time. And basically his whole body – like the outline of his body just becomes completely lit up with his past injuries. Like, well, he hurt this knee six times in one season. I think there might be a case, though, where they just put a cast on him just to get his mind off something. You know, like with a dog – do you ever watch The Dog Whisperer?
No. So, oh, yeah, Caesar.
Yeah,
Caesar,
so they if they have a dog that like barks a lot or has anxiety or something weird, what they'll do is they'll put a backpack on the dog so the dog feels like it has a job.
Yes.
Roethlisberger doesn't really do so well when he's not doing something football related. So if you give him like a boot to walk around with because he's a football guy, he's got a football injury, then he stays in his like I'm doing my job mentality.
Right. And he is, back to your point about having like all these alarms going off, he is you know, everyone out there has probably had a car that they didn't have, you know, enough cash to take care of or whatever. Your beater.
Yeah.
And the gas light, you know, the oil light would come on, or the engine check engine light. Just put a little tape over that. That's Ben Roethlisberger.
Right,
the check engine light is like always on.
Yep.
But he goes into the Steelers locker room and they're just like, okay, team doctors, let's throw this over. Let's throw a little piece of tape over this. Ben, you ready to go? Put on that walking boot. Go get him.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. And guess what? The Steelers doctors, I mean, they've been known to never...
No, they're good doctors. Yeah, solid doctors. Play by the rules.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth. You lie.
We have a Just Chill Out man. This comes from Miko Grimes, who turns out Brent Grimes was not on the Dolphins anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the Bucs, so wasn't really relevant to today's game. But
Miko made him relevant, was bashing Dolphin fans when they were losing to the Steelers. And someone replied to one of her tweets, "I pray for Brent every day. How does one deal with this?" In reference to Miko just going crazy on Dolphins fans. Miko replied, "Brent's dick is covered in my pussy juice right now. Prayers answered."
Wow.
So
just chill out.
Just chill out.
I've got a kind of a stay woke. I don't think that Miko Grimes is a person. I don't think she exists.
You think it's Brent Grimes' alter ego?
Yeah,
or
I think maybe he's like schizophrenic. He's got an alternate personality, and he tweets like from her perspective. He gets to say all the stuff that he wants to say about his employer, about like the team. What's up?
Miko Grimes sounds like a better football player than Brent Grimes.
It true. Does. Miko Grimes, true. Yeah.
I would subscribe to your theory there, except for she was making a lot of sense in tweets later. She said Tim Tebow as a pro better than Ryan Tannehill as a pro.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Clearly,
she knows her football.
Yeah. Actually, maybe now that helps your theory. That's a football guy who would say that.
That's somebody that has been inside the locker room and knows that Tebow's a guy that you want in your foxhole.
Right, exactly.
I'll put my foxhole juice all over Tim Tebow, is what you're saying.
Oh, man. Just chill out with the pussy juice, please. We don't have to call
Looney. Hard P word.
Yeah, yeah. We don't need that. We have a bad visual for the boat crew. So
Yacht Club.
Yeah, we're calling it the Yacht Club?
The Speedboaters.
Okay, all right. The Speedboaters. The boat crew, the yacht club, whatever you want to call them, the Giants, they went on a vacation and probably shouldn't have. So who was it? Odell Beckham. Name some other wide receivers for
Cruz.
The Giants.
Cruz. Victor Cruz. Was
Shepherd.
Kind of ironic that Victor Cruz was on this ship, right?
Mm-hmm. So they all went, obviously, on their off day
Monday.
Got it. To a party in Miami. Uh-huh. They lived it up.
Also, most concerning was the fact that nobody was wearing a life jacket.
Yes, no one was wearing a life jacket.
Not practicing
safe boating.
And
also, Odell Beckham was wearing, looked like construction boots on a boat.
Yeah, they were wearing Timberlands.
You scuff up the deck, man. Come on. That's really the bad visual here. You don't want to do
that.
He
was more dressed up for the yacht than he was pregame.
Yeah, true.
Good point.
Ooh, great
point. Shows more professionalism in South Beach than he does in Green Bay.
So, it was mentioned probably 1,000 times by Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. This is a classic. If you're going to go on a boat party, it's the old Tony Romo with Jessica Simpson and Cabo rule. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go hang out before a playoff game, you better win that fucking playoff game.
Also, how about you just go on a boat to party and you don't tweet about it? Is that a possibility?
That too. Oh, so you're going to go like just stay off your phones for a minute.
Tell you what, back in my day, if we had social media, I would have gotten in so much trouble.
Right. Okay, I like
that's
that
what old
too.
People say when they like to make it sound like they had a really fun time when they were kids.
Yeah,
they really didn't though.
Yeah, right. They're exactly. From bad visual to bad radio, we have bad radio for you. NFL memes. What happened?
So Michelle Tafoya, she's been doing this for the last couple months here on NBC. They cut to her in the middle of the broadcast, and I guess in an effort to appeal to younger viewers, they put memes up on the screen.
Classic move.
And Michelle Tafoya reads the memes.
Any emojis? I don't understand if there's no emojis.
There are no emojis, but here, I want to read you, as part of bad radio, these memes.
Okay.
Okay, it's a picture of Aaron Rodgers. When you're so hot, the temperature doesn't matter.
Okay. Baby.
Antonio Brown, he's wearing a coonskin cap backwards.
Okay, don't say the C word.
The cold never bothered me anyway.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's white writing over these pictures.
Oh.
If you're not getting it.
Okay. So those are NFL memes. You have
there's another one.
Oh, please.
It's Tom Brady, and then it says, when you just want to know who you'll be playing next. Tom Brady.
That is
classic Tom Brady.
Wow, that's a classic. Man. That's probably a lot of retweets too.
Yeah. So they're putting memes on live TV for some reason. it's great. Yeah, it was really amazing television to watch this for like 2 minutes, and then it goes back up to Al Michaels, who doesn't know what a fucking meme is.
No way.
He's like, does it gamble?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Can you do one with the spread?
Can you eat a steak off of it?
Yeah.
So we're going to do bad radio, our memes.
Okay, so I've got Odell Beckham and his teammates, and they're on the boat.
Yeah.
And then it says, I'm on a boat. And then T-Pain is in the corner.
Oh, you almost didn't.
A little Photoshop with the meme.
Okay, I'm going a little viral ad too. So this one's going to be tweeted from the Snickers account. It's on the sideline, Odell Beckham in the game looking really upset, and it says, want to get away?
I like that.
And then the next one is
Southwest.
The boat. Oh, that's the...
That's Southwest.
Oh, yeah, that's Southwest. Okay.
On top of that...
This is truly bad radio.
Yeah. On top of that, I'm going to do one where it's Brock Osweiler,
mm-hmm.
and he's standing back in the pocket for 20 minutes waiting to get sacked, and then it says, not going anywhere for a while.
There we Snickers. Go. I like that. And I have one last one from the Butterfingers account. It just says, live look at Odell Beckham's pregame meal.
And it's a dumpster fire.
Yeah, right,
okay,
right.
Got it.
Right. Okay.
And that was bad radio.
Right, that was bad radio, bad memes. I love when they do that. When ESPN will show emojis for every game or mm-hmm. something like that. Just really trying to connect with the youth culture out there.
Yeah, Dilfer does a lot of emojis.
Yeah.
And yeah. that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, wow. Don't let Dilfer get going on those emojis.
Trent Dilfer's face looks like an emoji, so it's perfect.
Yeah. No, he looks like one of those bitmojis.
A thumb. Oh, yeah. And a bitmoji. Yeah.
He's a bitmoji dad, basically. We have a trouble in paradise. So this happened on Friday night. The Warriors blew a huge lead to the Grizzlies, and Draymond Green flipped out at Kevin Durant. On the court, because Kevin Durant demanded the ball. Classic, who's the alpha?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Kevin Durant? Is it Steph Curry? Right. Knew this was coming.
Is it Draymond?
So after, I like this, he said, I'm actually happy we lost Friday because there's some things that we need to correct in order to win a championship, and that's our goal. So I'm kind of thrilled that we lost because you usually make those corrections when you lose. Our fourth quarter offense has been atrocious, and I don't know if you could see it, but I pay attention to those things. So, first of all, he's kind of bragging. Like, he can see more. He knows more about the game than all you nerds out there.
Yeah.
And second, he's not mad. He's just totally joking right now. He's laughing.
Right. It brings up a good question, though. And that's, let's say that the Golden State Warriors are a bunch of cavemen. Okay? They go out and they kill, we'll call it a mountain lion.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets to eat first?
That's a good question.
Do you let Draymond eat first?
Yeah.
Probably JaVale McGee because he's so high.
You can probably. Oh yeah, good point.
Yeah, I was the munchies.
I was going to say you can probably trick Draymond into just like kicking the cougar in the crotch repeatedly. Be like, okay, that's how you eat. Is you can just abuse this cougar's testicles, and then while he's doing that, you're eating the haunches. I would say probably. I'm going to go with KD.
Okay.
I think you got to let KD snack because if you don't. He's going to write like passive aggressive things about you on the cave wall afterwards.
Yes. And Draymond. Yeah, I'm going to go with KD as well. Okay. So it's KD's team.
KD's team. There you go. Problem solved.
Great way to do it. We have as a white guy, this is quick. As a white guy, I'm offended because Kyle Korver over the weekend was traded for Mike Dunleavy. And basically the NBA is saying all white guys are, you can...
Interchangeable. They all look alike to you, I guess.
Exactly.
Well, Dunleavy is basically Kyle Korver with a dumber haircut. If we're being honest.
Kyle Korver has a pretty dumb haircut.
Yeah, but Dunleavy's is dumber.
Okay.
I'm not saying that one's not dumb.
Yeah.
It is a little bit offensive, though. I mean, like, you couldn't have at least thrown, like, a draft pick in there for a player to be named later and make sure that player is, like, maybe not a white guy?
I appreciate what LeBron... LeBron is basically, like, giving charity out, though, to white guys who can shoot threes well.
Yeah.
It's like LeBron's school of, Mike Miller.
Mike Miller was the original one.
Yeah, he's the
Not Dele, though, because Dele can't shoot threes.
Correct.
So...
Yeah. Remember that time? I think it was in the finals they lost when Dele got a little full of himself and airballed a three.
And he started shooting threes that would like hit the back of the backboard somehow.
Like, I have to take this team over.
He was hitting a lot of foam with his shots.
Yeah. So, LeBron, thank you for helping out the white guys that can shoot. Kyle Korver, your turn up. And Mike Dunleavy hasn't reported to the Hawks yet. He's still in shock. So, I think he's just going in hiding. He thought he was going to get his free ring. And now he's got to go to Atlanta.
That's rough.
Yeah. We have a spin zone, Carrie Fisher. So this is actually a spin zone.
Is she alive?
No, she's dead.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert. Spin zone for Cinnabon, actually, because Cinnabon got in all that hot water for tweeting about Carrie Fisher's buns and saying they were the best buns in the galaxy. Everyone on the internet got upset.
Right.
Carrie Fisher, she was cremated, and her ashes were put in a huge Prozac bottle. So... I'm going to go ahead and just say that Carrie Fisher would not have been offended by the Cinnabon tweet, and everyone else can go fuck themselves.
She had a good sense of humor about
it. Yeah. So Hank brought up the good point, what we would want to do with our ashes if we were to die.
So I want my body. I don't want to get burned up. I want my entire intact body jettisoned into outer space. So it's just floating around the cosmos. Eventually an alien space shuttle will pick it up and revive me and give me alien sex.
Okay.
Or like maybe I'll just float into the sun slowly, which is kind of a badass way to go.
Yep.
So yeah, I just want to be just hanging out in outer space.
What about you, Hank?
I'd like to get put into an anchor and then just cruise around on a boat for the rest of my...
And then lose some trackers.
Wait, so you want to get put into an anchor?
Like she got put into a Prozac bottle. Like you can put my ashes in an anchor.
And, but you want to stay on the boat.
I'll be with the boat. I'd cruise around and then get thrown in
and
the ocean.
And then go into take a dip every now and again. Right. Okay.
I like that. I would like, you know those stupid memorabilia things where people sell like a little piece of the dirt from a stadium?
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, this is so cool. It's just, even though it's probably dirt from like, you know, the street or something. So I would like my ashes to be divvied up into a bunch of little pieces. We'll put them on like a card. We'll sell them, and then all proceeds go to whatever outstanding debt I have to my bookie.
So it's like Larry the Goldfish, except they're buying shares in your debt.
Yeah, but I would like, because I don't want my family to be stuck with whatever I owe my bookie, so I'm trying to help them out once I pass.
Wetting the beak from beyond the grave.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I like it a lot. Also, people could take your ashes, and so you'd be distributing them in pills?
No, it'd be like little playing cards, just my ashes. Maybe in pens. Okay. We'll put them in pens, collectible pens with my dead body in them.
Ooh, I like that. Or they can take your ashes and use it to fertilize plants, and then people can eat the vegetables grown out of your body, pay it forward.
Mm. My bookie can.
Yes.
Like, here, bookie.
Hey, I can't pay you back, but you know what's better than money?
Yeah.
Is delicious, delicious kale.
Yeah. Or you...
With my body in it.
Okay. Now we're spitballing here. You make my ashes and you maybe put them in like plastic and make a fishing rod, give it to my bookie, be like, can't pay you back, but I just fed you for life.
Taught you how to fish.
Yeah, there you go, bookie.
Wet the beak for life.
We have, finally, our last segment. I have a That's Enough Internet for today.
Ooh, we have a PR 101 too.
For who?
Grayson Allen.
Oh, yeah.
So our Grayson. Boy, Grayson Allen, may have been caught trying to kick slash trip another person after one game back from his one game suspension. So he had a one game, kind of a 1.5 game streak of not kicking anybody.
Yeah.
So he kind of got caught, but it wasn't enough evidence to say like definitively, but I mean, you can do the math.
He had some funny business.
He had some funny business. My PR 101 for him is get your leg amputated. Just get it cut off.
Okay.
And immediately you're a sympathetic character.
Yeah.
Either that or get... So people have speculated that he has emotional problems, which I think he probably does.
Yep.
Get an emotional support puppy. Oh. And just everywhere you go.
Have it sitting on the bench.
Sitting on the bench.
Everyone loves puppies.
Yeah. No one can be mad at you if you've got a cute dog.
Could you imagine every time? So, okay, that basically gets him out of tripping every single time.
Yeah.
He could go trip someone, go right to the bench, and just put the puppy on his lap.
Mm-hmm.
You think that he's going to get yelled at?
No.
Hell no.
And he'll be like, oh, it's my support puppy. It's kind of like a seeing eye thing. So it kind of told me to trip you. So... it's the puppy's fault.
I think what he should do is have his teammates make like a behind-the-scenes prank video of them tripping him. If he tripped like 10 times on a video and fell on his face, kind of even Steven, you know?
If you own it, if you can laugh at yourself.
Right, exactly. Or just say you're addicted. You're literally addicted to tripping people. Like maybe, ooh, here's another one. Maybe Grayson should tweet out, is there tripping porn? There should be tripping.
I'm sure there's tripping porn.
I'm sure there's tripping porn. He should tweet that out, a link to that, and be like, whoops, I'm addicted to tripping.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Right.
It's a problem that I have. I'm seeking treatment for it.
Yeah. It's like Rex Ryan's foot porn. Make a tripping porn video and be like, I'm so obsessed with tripping people, I need to watch people trip into sex.
A little catch 22, though. It's kind of hard to complete 12 steps of things when you're always tripping.
Tripping, right.
So.
Okay.
Tough situation.
tough spot that Grayson put himself into. All right, finally, we have a That's Enough Internet for today. This one comes from Time. Woman wears Chewbacca mask during labor to make giving birth more enjoyable. So, so woman put on a Chewbacca mask.
On Facebook Live.
On
too,
Facebook
right?
Live, yeah. More enjoyable for who? I don't know.
That's quite enough.
Way too much internet for today. So that was our show.
Oh, I actually, okay, one last meme.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's Pete Carroll, and he's smacking his gum, and it says, Chewbacca mom's back.
And then you Photoshop the Chewbacca mom coming out of Pete Carroll's penis hole.
Yeah.
There you go. That one's free, NBC. You can feel free to run it for your next broadcast.
I NFL hope somebody memes. Actually makes some of these memes.
They're so bad. They're so bad. Okay, that is our show. Subscribe to Pardon My Take on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Pardon My Take. Huge show Wednesday. We have all you golf fans out there. We have Ricky Fowler and Smiley Kaufman. We've already taped it. Great interview. Mm-hmm. It's actually a little dated because we talked about Brandon Whedon. Whoops.
That's true. we also...
No, wait. No, Brandon Whedon's still in the playoffs.
That's right. We got some good headlines out of him, too.
Right.
So we,
great headlines.
Yeah.
So
a lot of controversy coming out of this interview.
Make sure you tune in, and we will see you. Oh, finally, we're doing a pick for tonight. Let's do it. 6.5 is the spread.
I'm going with Paul. Going Alabama.
Okay.
Clemson.
I will take Alabama. That's our show. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Love you guys.